So I feel a bit like the Fall Guy, because I'm not advocating for Liverpool. I wear many hats, and I'm going to talk about the multiple hats I wear or have worn. Okay, so let's declare those hats. I work for Elsevier. It's a FTSE 10 company, and we make global investment decisions. I'm a member of Kiel Council, so I look at Kiel and how we help that environment. I was chair of the Oxfordshire LEP, I'm sorry, Innovation Board, and I also worked at EPSRC. So I bring a number of perspectives to this, and I will just say my mother was a Liverpudlian. So I want to tell you a bit of story about Elsevier. So before I joined Elsevier, they went on a global search to try and find where they should centre their data science centre. You might think of Elsevier as a crusty old publisher, but actually RELX, our parent company, combines leading content with data sets and powerful analytics and technology to serve many business sectors. It's a little-known company. But that global search led to an investment decision that we should go to London to set out our data centre, our data science hub. That was because there was top talent, attractive location and critical mass. And actually, when I was in EPSRC, as I did 10 years before that, I used that to try and defend a budget for EPSRC when Microsoft moved to Cambridge and when Elsevier came in. So there's a virtuous circle and a network between some of these actors. We're fast forward post-COVID, and actually for Elsevier, we've had to reduce our footprint because most of our colleagues don't come into the office every day. So in London, we've gone from 3 sites to 1 site, and in Oxford, we've gone from 700 desks in the office plus to 70. And that meant we had to do a relocation, and because of the Oxfordshire LEP, the guy who was in Fortescue, a spin-out from Williams Engineering, rang me up and said, we want a new HQ. Could we talk to you about your building? So we now have Fortescue in our old building, this picture of our old building, and that's brought 4,000 plus jobs to Oxfordshire. So these networks of contacts and making things happen, I think, are really important. I've got to press this button again. Okay. So now I'll go on to talk about some of the work we're doing in Elsevier as an analytics company with organisations around the world. So in 2022, following the CHIPS Act in the US, the NSF set up a new directorate. The directorate was to look at technology, innovation and partnerships. And they came to see us and they said, we have a problem as a new directorate. We need to prove our worth. We need to show to NSF leadership, we need to show to local politicians and academia and industry that the investments we are making are equitable across all jurisdictions, in states, territories, congressional districts and beyond, and we need to focus on promising key technologies to achieve local economic benefit. It's sort of got a resonance, some of the stuff we've heard from Liverpool. So actually they came to us and said, could we work with them? So we've now built an interactive portal where you can go and search all the investments down to a congressional level of where the investments are, and we will track outputs from all those investments. And it came up earlier in the round table, but having evidence of what works in these investments is critically important. So in NSF, the contention is they've got money, they're investing it in research and technologies, it'll lead to innovation and jobs. And they've put £1 billion a year aside for that. When I left EPSRC, we had a really lucky year, thanks to David, and we had £1 billion to spend. So, okay. And then we had an approach from Cornell, and Cornell were being criticised for being very focused on the New York region and encouraging lots of prosperity in New York. So Cornell said, could we do a bit of a study for them to look at where their PhD alumni went and where they were? So we did this work, we looked at 5 cohorts over a 20-year period, and we looked at the engineering and the agriculture and life sciences parts of Cornell. And actually the good news was 18% of Cornell graduates, PhDs, went to California. 25% stayed in the New York region, but the rest were distributed right across the country. It wasn't that having PhDs in Cornell was only prospering the New York region. I'd love to do that map of the CDTs in the UK. Okay. And then if we come closer to home, about a year ago, TU Eindhoven, the Technical University of Eindhoven, came to us and said they were working with this concept of a fourth generation university, a university that was mission driven, both in research and education, that enabled social value creation, was transdisciplinary, was ecosystem orientated, and had innovation spaces. So we've done a lot of work specifically with Eindhoven. You can read the report. But actually, we're now expanding that approach. And yesterday, we had the launch meeting with 9 universities from around the world to see if we can do more work on some of the ways that you might measure what a fourth generation university is. And this is but one data set from the work we did with TU Eindhoven. This TU Eindhoven is in the Brainport part of the Netherlands, so it's really important for the Netherlands economy. And we were able to show that when you were an alum of TU Eindhoven, 30% of you stuck in that region. And that's really important because that helps generate jobs and keep stickiness. And for TU Eindhoven, it's really helpful because the Netherlands has now decided to invest 2.5 billion in the Brainport area. And in the last round of National Growth Fund in the Netherlands, it attracted in 2.4 billion. So there is something about people and stickiness that is really important in this debate. So let's come closer to home. I couldn't leave without showing some data for Liverpool. So this shows for academic published papers where Liverpool between 21 and 24 co-published. So Liverpool is not an island, I'm sorry to say. It's a very collaborative and networked university. Manchester is its closest partner. Actually, it works right across the UK, and that's a real strength of the University of Liverpool. So that's what happens with academic partnerships. I want to turn your attention to the map on my left. I can't do left and right. The map. The map shows, if you look at all the papers that are published by Liverpool, where the corporate partners are headquartered, where the addresses are on all the papers. Okay. So Liverpool, while it is a really important university in the region, it really contributes across the whole of the UK on corporate academic collaboration. And I'll just draw your attention to Oxford Nanopore, a very famous spin-out from the University of Oxford, but its innovation and its growth is being fueled in part by collaboration with the University of Liverpool. So we'd be very careful about what we throw away, Tim, as well as what we gain. Okay. So I couldn't resist this. I just thought this data blew my mind when I looked at it yesterday. So this is Liverpool John Moores, and I apologise to the other universities in Liverpool. I couldn't spin the time out to do all of them. But this shows Liverpool John Moore. Again, Liverpool John Moore does not work just in this region. It collaborates with corporates across, particularly England. And then look at this. And we're talking about the region. So Unilever up there, Syngenta. Arsenal Football Club is the fourth biggest corporate collaborator with Liverpool John Moores, followed by Liverpool Football Club. And then look, we've got Manchester United Football Club. Now, would the people who live in this region, and my mother was a Liverpudlian and supported Liverpool, is that something they'd want to see from their local university? You might want to debate that. Okay, so I've given you a whistle-stop tour through lots of data and given you some food for thought. I'll just show this. Excellence really does matter in research, and there are many ways you can measure it. But if we look at the University of Liverpool and when it publishes on its own, it has a measure of quality field-weighted citation index of 1.2. John Moores has 1.02. If you collaborate nationally, that improves. If you collaborate internationally, that improves. And then if you collaborate with corporates, it goes up to nearly 4. So there is something about corporate and academic and international collaboration that is really valuable, and we have to think very carefully about the balance on how we might destroy that. So my personal reflections, I think the real output from universities are people and ideas, and people matter most. And the debate hasn't really been around people, it's about things and names of research areas. Putting my Oxfordshire hat on and putting my Keele hat on, in Oxford now there's a much more stronger focus on social inclusion and trying to get rid of the town and gown image of Oxford. And in Keele, we're building really strong links across the education supply chain because we think that's important for the situation in Staffordshire. If we balance place-based investments, and I would suggest balance, not one hard turn of the tiller, and maintain excellence, I've not heard any conversation about the impact of COVID and people having different geographies they live in. We've certainly changed our geographical footprint. We don't have those offices. I know I go around lots of universities, they still have to do something about their space utilisation. But actually, what does the change working pattern give for what we're going to do on place-based investments? In everything I've done, it's critical that you have networks and you have co-creation, both at a regional and national and an international level. And universities, on the whole, are pretty damn good at that and have got better over time. Regional devolution is not symmetric, and I think that's a real challenge for us. You might be very well off with mayors where you are here, but that's not the case across the UK. People have already talked about the lessons of the RDAs, but there were also the science and innovation audits in 2016. And while they gave a good account of each region, there was no comparison to check which one said AI was their strength and how that compared nationally. And then finally, I think in a time of tight fiscal being, we have to think very carefully about how we can invest to achieve multiple objectives and achieve bureaucracy and red tape. As a corporate, I can't tell you how many times I have to explain to people on how you go about getting a shared PhD student with a university, because they just don't understand CDTs, DTPs. We need to simplify, keep it simple, and really motor on this. So, I don't know why that's come up, but we'll have this picture, it's much better. Okay, so my recommendation for the future is to think about focusing on networks and people in their investments. And it comes from a good source, because it was Oppenheimer who said, the best way to send information is to wrap it in a person. And I think if people are naturally networking, then you actually grow an ecosystem that flourishes and changes. Thank you.